This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Josette.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Katie. You might know us because we are a band called Muna.
And this is our podcast, Gayotic,
where we gaily, chaotically talk about us and anything that we want because we're the bosses.
So welcome to hell. Strap in and get ready for whatever the crap we're going to talk about this episode.
So true, bestie.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. And then there's a car crash.
Let's go.
You have to kind of accept, like, the United States of America is never going to change. It's been fucked from the beginning. Mm. It's fundamentally fucked up. Mm. We can't necessarily improve it without completely changing it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's reform versus, I mean, like...
We were talking about that the other day. We were talking about, like, You were saying...
Are you talking about the Audre Lorde thing?
What was that?
The tools, you can't dismantle the master's house with the master's tools.
It was more about, it was a hint. That would create, that would be useful, wouldn't it? We were talking about, about change, and we were talking about America, and it was like, it's too painful. What we were talking about.
Oh, I see. Okay, we were talking about climate change.
Yeah.
We were talking about how not wanting to feel the grief of the damage done.
Yes.
Really stands in the way. And it is, and I think we did mention, like, because in school, Naomi, you and I learned about the history of Black Americans and Black people throughout the African diaspora bringing a case to the UN of, like, genocide.
Yeah.
And saying, like, you know, this there's been a genocide being perpetrated against us since the beginning of the transatlantic slave trade, and we are owed an apology and we're owed reparations. And I think to acknowledge it is just really painful.
Wait, that had happened?
I think so.
There's the so. Oh my God! My whole existence is like remembering something smart that someone said, but not
I didn't remember
exactly.
Last week. Yeah, I didn't remember. What was that? 2 days ago?
It's like you remember. You're like, someone said something really smart about that once, and I can't remember who or exactly what it was. But I think it's like, I can't. Oh my
God!
Yeah,
we charged genocide. It was a paper. Well, it was by Du Bois. Presented at the UN in Paris in 1951. So,
I mean, that's insane.
Way too early for those white folks.
Still too early, though. I mean, it's like we still can't. It just seems, like we can't own up to it. But I did want to say, like, that I feel maybe still naively more optimistic in the sense of, like, going back to what your great grandma. About there's always good white people, but there's never enough of them. Like, that is a sticking point in the organizing of white people for Black Lives, that if there's, I think it's like some percentage.
There's a percentage. It's like 30% or 15% or something like that. Like, yeah. I remember.
It was like lower than I thought.
Wait, what are you talking about?
It's like there's a certain percentage of the white population that needs to
get on board,
engage in anti-racist work in order for the policies to actually start changing.
Yeah.
But I think that in my life, I've experienced things where it's like, okay, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. And then one day it is, you know?
Yeah, but so, I also feel like we live in a panopticon.
What?
We are like a post-structural change being, like, because everything is so convoluted, and
we
it's
can't
like,
do like we're putting meaningful yeah, work over time.
We're putting like a cabin on top of a mountain of shit. You know what I mean? It's like
and then just taking a picture of yeah, just the cabin,
yeah,
and hashtagging van life,
yeah.
Lord, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's exactly that. It's like. And then there's like, it's just a, it's like a 20-foot mountain of
Poop Mountain. And actually, I know what the episode will be called.
Poop Mountain.
Welcome to poop-poo. Chaotic.
I said poop-poo at the same time. Poop-poo.
And here we are. The world is not going to get better. Welcome to this week's episode. I actually came in feeling more like, more good. Positive.
No, I've had a bad time.
You've had a bad time this morning?
No, in general. But I don't feel that me feeling a certain way about the state of the world is necessarily an inherently negative outlook. Like, I don't... The pessimism that I feel about the United States of America is not necessarily negative. It's just that I think it's kind of inherently evil and bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's built on capitalism.
Like, well, that's just, yeah, and it's just like.
We just don't, there's no acknowledgement. And that's the thing that we'll never do. And that's why we'll always be Poopoo Mountain.
But I think we won't do it because we don't want to pay the check.
Well, that's exactly why. I mean, because it's built on capitalism. Because it's like there's just too much money. That's the whole thing, even like with GameStop. Taking it back.
Every week we will be talking about GameStop.
And now
Josette
is going to explain GameStop.
Let's actually, no,
when
but
I
I'm
used
saying,
to go to GameStop.
Okay, but
to
really,
get Donkey
really,
Kong
yeah, this
for
all
the
actually
Nintendo,
about.
Wow. Game Boy, DS, Red.
Mm. I was actually thinking Game Boy Color. You know Game Boy Color?
Sick. Game Boy Color was the most advanced technology I could have imagined.
It was the one that
I'm
like,
having like a weird memory about a GameStop that it could be a false memory.
Okay,
were there GameStops that existed where in the GameStop there was like
a game,
a cube, like you could like go on a kind of like a fake roller coaster ride?
I really think that maybe
that you, could be. They,
what is it?
Be possible. That.
When you say do you mean like so? Let's say we're in a great place known as no. No!
A blank look captivated Josette's visage.
You do not do this to me. What's Dave and Buster's? Okay, we're at Dave and Buster's. We need to get back to GameStop too, but we're at Dave and Buster's.
We'll talk about Dave and Buster's.
You know the roller coaster games? You're talking about like that?
Where it's stationary.
You know what? That could be a thing. I mean, you lived in
a cube.
I feel like in the rich suburbs of Chicago, anything is possible.
I think I was in like a huge GameStop once, and there was like a little, you could design the roller coaster and then go in the little cube and it would flip you around.
That's pretty tight.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why I was in
the GameStop. Roller Coaster Tycoon, but
a game. Any video games.
Really cool.
I really liked GameStop, but. Okay, this is what I was thinking, is that there are going to be no reparations or no structural changes to what happened with the stock market with GameStop.
I don't really know if you can say reparations.
Not reparations, but okay, yeah, fine.
But to
there's
repair.
Just
going to
be, yeah, there are going to be no changes made because it is a system that is built on capitalism and like money. You know what I mean? Like, even though we're all like, this was fucked up, dude. It's not like anyone's like, we have to change. I mean, there are people who are like, we have to change it. But the people who have the most power are the people
who have
something to lose.
The money. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they have the money.
But also, and to your point, it's like the system as it currently is relies on people not being informed as to how things work. It's like,
100.
There is a reason they don't teach people in public schools, in my opinion, how to, and it's not that I necessarily inherently believe that there should be a stock market or anything like that, but there is a reason they don't teach that shit in school. Like,
yeah. They don't teach you the things that you need to know. I didn't learn. How do you do your taxes? How do you do stocks? How to change tires?
It's the way that it's structured in terms of like the education system to me is to keep people kind of in line. And if they break out of that and become an exception to the general rule of how things go for people and like become a huge success, and then that's because of their merit and that they worked hard and not because of any other reason. It's just like
that's
the
biggest
lie.
It's
the myth of meritocracy. And it's also just like, the fact that so many people are so dreadfully uninformed. And now that we have the internet, they were able to mobilize and teach people in layman's terms how it's so fucked up what hedge fund people are allowed to do and what billionaires are allowed to do on Wall Street every fucking day. And then when nerds on the internet like organize and do it, and then they get their account on like Robinhood frozen or whatever.
It makes sense to me. And most people feel right has been exposed is that our economy, the rules will change to benefit the people with the most power.
I mean, everything's always been pretend, but I feel like the pandemic and like all this bullshit that's been going on, it's just like everything is so pretend, but we just cannot let go of any of it.
Yeah.
I think that's what really the last like year and why I feel like everything is, that's why I feel pessimistic. It's just like, cause capitalism is pretend. You know what I mean? Like all of these rules and societal norms are things that we fucking made up, but us as a society. That's actually the song we're working on right now. But we just can't let go. We can't take our, you know, cold dead fingers, even if it's obviously really fucking broken. You know what I mean? We just can't. We can't stop.
Have you guys ever used a dental dam?
No.
Never.
I've never had sex.
But you know what the real dental dam is that people should just use?
God?
No.
God's love?
Your underwear, okay?
That's a dental dam. Dude, juices be juicing. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, I see. That's why it's like, well, okay.
You know what, really?
I don't really know if the juice is. It depends on what's
going on.
Preventing.
Yeah. You know what was really crazy? Okay. I was listening. I never thought about like, okay.
Okay.
I don't know why. Katie never made a lot of eye contact today.
Yeah.
But I was listening. Oh, we.
No, we're not.
Maybe. Modern. Are you? Oh, can you guys see it?
Now we're doing it. Yeah.
Oh, now we are. I was watching. Kelly and I watch a lot of, you know, Trixie and Katya's show on. Yeah. And Katya said something about, it was like about being gay, and Katya was saying about like all the pre-cum that they had like the first time they made out with a guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really interesting for me to be like,
made the pants wet.
I'm just thinking about like a man making like the pants
juices.
Wet.
Yeah.
Like that was really, as someone who's just haven't been around a penis in a long time.
That blow your mind?
It really just blew me. And
that's kind of cute in a way that pee-pee get wet.
But also I was just like, all I thought about was just like, just STDs. It's really.
And in what way? Like you were like.
I just know people in high school are just like having sex. Like, so it's like when, before they really have sex, they enter a little bit. And then like once they really have starting to have sex, they put condom on. And I think about those moments of entering. No cum then.
Oh God.
But pee-pee wet.
This is a shocking place for my mind to go.
I can't. I've been gay.
You've been around a penis, though.
Forever. Yeah, but not to the extent that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
I've unfortunately done it to quite the extent.
Yeah.
Engaged. Almost to the fullest extent. Or even some could say not almost.
But actually. Well, we can also discuss, Allie actually, when I was talking to Allie about the podcast, she said, you should discuss the thing that I talk about all the time.
What's her
now that
high
she
school
learned
boyfriend?
About it. No, not her high school boyfriend.
What's his name?
We can't talk about him on here because I'll get in trouble.
Oh.
But his name
oh,
is
it the sad thing?
The sad thing of queer people having, or queer women, having sex with men as a form of self-harm.
Yeah, I've been there. Who ain't?
It's a pretty real.
Who ain't been there?
That's a
who ain't been there?
Haint.
That should be the title of the podcast. Haint.
Wait. I kind of like Haint.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like Haint. A name, too.
Well,
little boy Haint.
This is our son Haint.
And
it is a very like millennial child. This is my son Haint.
And this is our daughter Pikachu.
I've just been like so shocked, I think, at the level. I used to think I was so complex. Like, I've been shocked at the level of pre-cum. No, I used to think that my sexuality was a lot more complex. And I still like, I leave it, I like to keep it agnostic. I don't want to put a full label on anything, but it is pretty interesting how
homosexual.
How homosexual and and yet still there was so many years of engaging in heterosexual and for reasons I don't know.
We all do it.
Yeah, we all do it. We all do it a certain amount. But I think there's also I think there is an element of like you want maybe it is internalized homophobia. Or a way to, like, punish yourself. I don't know. Something very sad.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a lighter level of, like, people go in don't necessarily feel bad.
Well, no. Yeah, that's no. But that's the thing. It's like they're mechanically.
People go in.
People go in not so bad. Not so bad.
Then mechanically it could be fine.
Yeah.
But I think there's, like, oh, there's a level of, like, it's like, I. This maybe is nice, but I don't like looking at you
no.
when it during it.
Right.
Or no. when it's occurring. Or,
yeah, Adrian asked me the other day, because I was like, well, I did, in my earlier 20s, like, I did experience, like, oh, I wanted to have sex with men, or I thought I wanted to have sex with men. And she was like, oh, well, did you want to have, like, meaningful sex with men? And I was like, no.
No,
but you didn't. You weren't necessarily looking for
meaningful sex with anyone. Yeah, but maybe that's part of the... That's Ooh. Part of the thing. Is
and
like
that's the tea.
And that's the tea. Like, if you're afraid of really being seen, really being known.
The mortifying ideal of being known.
I think so many people are really uncomfortable with intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in today's day and age.
Me included. Uh-huh. For us to hate, but... we have, like, a radio DJ, like...
Who ain't afraid of intimacy? And that didn't really land like I wanted to.
For some reason, this felt like a good time to take our first call. We got Tanya on the line from... Costa Mesa.
Josette has the phone up to her ear.
I felt like we were doing something like, I'm hanging up. Sorry.
Sorry, Bye, Tanya.
I just wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure if you wanted one of us to be Tanya.
You know what? Mom, okay.
I don't think we were yes-anding enough for you. I think we failed you in that moment.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I just wasn't sure. I'll do it.
Haint?
Some reason, I thought you were going to say, this is a good time to take our first ad, but then you said our first call,
well,
and that really
thing.
Took me through a loop. Are we having an advice section?
It just kind of felt like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we were like, who Haint done that? And we're like, ah, let's see
Tanya.
Who Haint.
Tanya.
I had a question. Could you play this song? And we're like, mm-hmm.
Tanya. I feel like Tanya's question would be like, here's my question. I had actual sex with all of my girlfriends when I was younger. Do you think I'm queer?
Nope. That's Katie's question.
Nope.
I just think about
all the straights do that.
I can tell from the sound of your voice that you are as straight as a pencil. Proceed.
That sounds like another moment where we'd have like a button. The straight or not.
Yeah.
Straight or haint.
This also, like, it was funny because yesterday Naomi posted on our Twitter, like, we're going Muna LP3.
What?
Y'all want anything?
What? Okay.
It's what was that?
Meme. Yeah. Okay. So who made that and what does it mean?
Who made it? I don't know.
Sometimes it'll say something like, I'm going depression. Does anyone need anything? Or like...
Yeah, but a lot of people said, oh, I want more sad bops that I can dance to. Oh, I want
Why
more.
Why are we so addicted to being sad? Why are we so addicted to being sad?
Let's call Tanya
like,
to find out.
Unfortunately, I feel like.
You can't be happy.
I don't know how much of our fan base, like, a lot of their shit. My experience has been once I had a reacceptance of gayness, a lot of things did get a lot easier.
It's because the cum and pant.
come in the pent, indeed.
Oh, yoy, yoy.
So it's kind of like, I don't know if I should go back. I'm not going to, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, do y'all want me to stay sad?
In the dog place? You want me to stay sad.
You want me to stay sad.
So I could be
stay
a little
here with you.
Sad,
you
dancing want- little monkey. Clapping the symbols of depression in your face.
I'm sure I'll go back there.
Yeah.
I'm headed there now. Does anyone need anything?
Yeah,
anyone
to be honest, anything? Once you have one little toe in the sad pool,
it's why not hard. Take a big
yeah.
dip?
Yeah. I feel like your foot go in, you're like, ooh.
You're like, it's kind of warm. Like,
yeah.
I really, it makes me, what's the kitty sound? Ooh, the kitty.
Yeah, from.
Yeah.
I talked to my therapist about that.
The kitty?
The yeah, depression from big, kitty from Big Mouth. Yeah.
I love the kitty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like it how it when she has like acceptance at the end, it's a lot smaller.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
Let me start by right. saying this show, Gaotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp,
not
in.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently, and
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours
yeah.
who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp is an individual that travels quite a bit and mm-hmm. needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date and mm-hmm. it makes you feel very nervous and you do have to find the right person. And mm-hmm. BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit BetterHelp.com/gaotic today and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/gaotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please.
You're listening to Gaotic. Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay. No, I was thinking about antidepressants and like because of the conversation we had the other day of like, you know, it has been suggested to me lightly a couple of times. And I feel a big resistance to it and part of it is the normal fears of like, oh, I don't want to be out of touch with my feelings.
Yeah.
And then I think part of it is almost connected to what we were talking about at the beginning of this recording, which is like...
Scared you can't get it up?
Sorry. Is that... I actually would be a little scared about that. Because I feel like my libido
too.
Is not off the charts anyway. So it's like, I don't want to lose what I have.
To be honest, it's natural. What is... Depression does... It's like you can't win. It's like if you're depressed... It's that's a problem. And then you take antidepressants to get less depressed and
but
that's still a problem.
But the
so
thing is that I feel annoyed. It's like I feel that part of my depression is that I wake up and I look at the world around me and I live in a part of the city where I see a lot of people who are experiencing homelessness, who are in like dire situations. I hear about really sad shit happening like all the time. Like I just, the world is not in a good place. And I feel resentful that I'm being asked to just take a medication when I feel like it would be better if the world was just better.
How about the world takes a medication, honey, bitch?
How about the world gets prescribed something called, I don't know, decency juice?
A video I watched last night that I just had I was thrown back into this memory of a man who lived in isolation as a hermit for 27 years.
What the
and
fuck?
I think maybe that
when you saw that, were you kind of like,
part of me was like, huh, weird to be alone for that long and like pretty crazy. And he would like go into the town and like go to, into these people's summer homes and steal all the food from their fridges.
Wait, did
stuff.
We watch like, a thing about this a long time ago?
I don't know. Maybe there was like a, there's like a doc. It was like on the Atlantic or something. There's like a doc about it. But part of me was like, he probably is happier than a lot of people because he doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
It's, yeah. It's both. I mean, like I really do. I have the constant, I'm an isolationist. I'd uh-huh. rather be alone.
Uh-huh. But you are also constantly I'm constantly with lots yeah. of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, maybe you're like socially, well, that, so I am obviously dissociating, but like constantly obviously. when I'm like I always used to think this way when I was younger. I'd be like, I just want to get a cabin and I just want to be alone. Like I just want to be alone, especially when I'm depressed or anything. I'm just like, just leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah,
I do know that happiness is being with other people. I mean, yeah. like all we have in life is really just the relationships that we have.
Yeah.
Even if we don't, like, I don't love that.
Yeah.
But it is just the truth.
It's like this all comes back to a fear of intimacy because like if you're an avoidant person, in some ways I consider myself an avoidant person. I have traits of all. I contain multitudes, but I think part of me is quite avoidant and I think avoidant people crave connection,
yeah,
but are scared of it, so they shirk it when it comes to them.
Mm-hmm. Shirked.
So shirk, word of the day, haint it.
Haint it, shirk.
Yeah, I definitely identify. It's crazy thinking about how long you two have lived together. You guys have lived together probably for as long.
Well, right now we kind of aren't and kind of are.
It's confusing.
It's yeah. mostly we've been apart.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
I was
time.
Also just thinking how much, because I think in the beginning of the pandemic, it was kind of like, It was also, I think about this all the time because it was so scary. It was like raining in LA and everyone was panicking.
Yeah, it rained forever.
It rained
that
for
was crazy.
Forever.
It rained and it never stopped raining.
Nuts. It was so wild and it enhanced the fear of it all. And it was just like, get in the house. Like, yeah. Everybody just get in the house and under the covers.
It's different now.
And like, but I've also kind of been like locked down, quote unquote, but also like, living in kind of this weird like limbo space, generally speaking in life, but also like with a partner
uh-huh,
where you're
uh-huh.
like, we don't want to live together at this moment in time, but we, because of the pandemic, we are spending so much time together.
And that was very early in the relationship too.
It's weird. I mean, it's cool.
But I think of you guys good, as a success story.
Definitely. Well, that. we also just realized that we were already realizing that we really got on.
Yeah.
But I think having to do hard stuff and still being able to find fun things out of it was
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah, you either get brought together or you get driven apart, I feel like, yeah. doing this.
Yeah.
The
hard
buddies.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have thought about the, you know, a lot of us want to be alone, but then we realize that the fulfillment comes from being in relationship and having connection. It's so weird how like contradictory it is. And it makes me think about the bigger historical trends as well of like the 50s, like invention of the suburbs and, mm-hmm. and like the vision of like being successful and having the right life would be having your own private plot of land with like a small amount of people on it, you know?
Yeah.
And having everything kind of like, I don't know, being able to meet your needs without having to interact with people, which I think is even more so now because like you can just order everything to you.
I order the grocery.
Yeah, you order everything to you.
I want to interact with people, but I also really don't want to have like certain kinds of interactions.
Oh, that's the thing that I relate to you, and that's why we're so akin, is that a social situation, get me the fuck out of there.
But
people
like
I know intimately, I'm fine.
Yeah, totally. Or I talk about this in therapy occasionally, it's like, the thing I miss the most is not necessarily like going to a big gathering, and like there are certain parts of me that haven't like died because of this, and it hasn't necessarily fundamentally changed my personality because I am kind of like, I'm not the most inherently social being, but I do miss the kind of like exhibitionist like performance of living your life in public, but uh-huh. not talking to anyone. Uh-huh. But of like, I'm gonna go to the grocery store and put my little headphones in and just walk around and like, you're like
be the main character,
or like you're yeah, or like you're yeah, you're in, you're the main character. You're in the airport, but you're not.
That's the best.
You know what I mean? You're yeah. like you're existing in these kind of like public spaces,
yeah.
but you're having a private experience in
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Being
yeah. or like you're at the movies alone. And you're like, there are people here and we're all kind of having a shared experience because we're all watching this movie, but I don't have to talk to anyone or like during or, you know what I mean? It's yeah. like, it's shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys have always identified with each other on the introvert-extrovert scale.
Panic.
And you've always seen me as different.
Panic. Oh, it's because you are.
I think you need more alone time than we do in certain ways.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's funny because you see different. Me as an extrovert, but I'm the one of the three of us.
Who's alone
I don't
most.
Live with y'all.
Well, it's just, a, no, but together. It's, you're still an, okay.
You are an extrovert.
You're still an extrovert because you get something, like, sometimes I see you, and I've seen you actually high off your rocker. Like, I've seen your eyes bulging out of your face from a conversation.
From conversations, yeah.
My eyes during a conversation are glazing to the back of my head. Because I'm just like, get me out of here.
Unless you're kind of playing some kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, unless I'm performing. Like, it only really works unless I'm performing and I'm doing a stick. That has to be like 10 people around. One person around, I'm like, get me out of here.
That can't... That's crazy.
I just don't
totally
enjoy it.
True. What about when you were meeting Kelly and you guys were talking?
I was alcoholed. but, you know, you figure it out. You figure it out.
The Muna word for drunk, by the way, is alcoholed.
Wee-wee, pee-pee.
Okay.
I think it's interesting because I almost always do feel at least a moment of dread before I have, like, those social interactions. But it's that I have learned over time that it's beneficial for me. And also, like, that – because there was a period of time that I actually was questioning like, some people probably know that we have a song on our last record of, like, our song Never was like, I don't know if I like love. I think I've had enough.
But
I really was happy.
But I really was kind of like, I don't really know if I'm suited for romantic relationships, but I actually do feel that I have a advantage in that I can connect with people on a deeper, like I can make a wider web of connections that work for me.
Totally.
Like I have like a couple of neighbors in my neighborhood that I'm like, I'm close with you. I'm going to give you banana bread. And
that's
like, you're going to call me. And, you know, we have that relationship or like the people that, or like the people that I garden with or
swag,
whatever it is. It's like, I find way or people I roller skate with. It's like,
yeah.
I don't want to talk to them, but I know that it really does something for me. That's important. And when I do it, I like it.
See, when I do it, No.
Yeah.
I think it totally...
But I need to go home and then sit on
I think
the couch.
If I'm yeah. honest, I would be inclined to agree with you, but I think it totally depends on the person. I think
yeah,
it's like...
touche.
Because like if you're in a group, if you're like in a room of new people, but everyone has a really cool, good vibe. Not cool as in like they look cool, but like if they just have like a vibe
as
that
in like they dress
me,
cool.
Yeah, as in they're wearing cool shoes. Duh.
That's...
No, like if they aren't... I think, like, if you're giving me anxious energy,
yeah,
I can't take it.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
I do think that y'all read energy quicker and more effectively than I do.
Oh, for sure.
I usually know instantly, and then I'll go back on it because it was like, we had fun. And then we'll find out the hard way after
yeah.
a little while. But then I'll go
oh
back
my
and be
God.
Like, it's true, though. Like, I'll know pretty fucking instantly if it's a bad vibe.
I think that's so common that people have gut instincts about whatever and then they just ignore it and then it's like 5 years later.
Well, it's just like, it's not yeah. even, it's just like, I don't, I'm very fast to, you're even better, I think you're better at socializing than I even am.
But that's because I'm an only
just
child
about to
and I don't, yeah. and I don't.
You
I think
to.
I had to learn how to do it if I
yeah.
truly didn't want to like be actively 100% alone, which
yeah.
I was a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I have spent a lot of the time in my life truly alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, like...
Were you lonely?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Lonely or alone?
Because I think I did have, I always, I feel fortunate in that I've always been able to like make friends.
Yeah, you're good at it. See, I don't make friends.
Your friends have made me.
Yeah, whoa. I'm never alone.
Yeah.
I'm never alone.
Constantly
ever.
Lonely.
Constantly lonely. I just, yeah, man. I would just much rather like I'd talk to a dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just where I'm at.
I am starting to get that in an interesting way.
Oh, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the cat yesterday. I'm house sitting a cat and I really liked it. I was like, that's funny to do.
To talk to them?
Yeah, you start talking to them and they're kind of like looking at you because they know that you're talking to them and you're like, what a dumb experience I'm having with you.
They know though.
You don't
I
understand
mean,
what the hell I'm saying. You just go, meow, and then I'm just kind of
like,
when
the cat talk back.
Yeah, and you're like, mm-hmm.
My dog will talk back sometimes, but she's a real bitch.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.